I appreciate you praying for me, as I know you do when I stand up here. And I believe in the prayers of God's people. I believe that that's one of the most important things that we can do, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today, the power of prayer. I want us to turn to James, the fifth chapter. I think in our generation, one of the things that I'm learning more is that when I talk to people, there's something about their prayer life. Oftentimes, people that have struggles in their experiences and whatnot, there's something about their prayer life that's not quite the way that it needs to be. And I don't believe that there's anybody here who prays too much. I don't believe that that's possible for that to happen. And I believe that one of the things that I believe the Lord wants us to do is to pray more. There's a scripture that tells us to pray without ceasing. And so that means that in one sense, all of us have heard it explained in various ways that we have an attitude of prayer, that there's always a prayer on our heart for something that we're asking the Lord to do for us, or something that we're needing from the Lord, or asking the Lord, Lord, I just want to be more like you. There is great power in prayer. And I believe the power of the saints of God, the power that the Lord wants us to understand is going to be through our prayer life. So I want us to turn to the fifth chapter of James. We'll start reading at the 13th verse.
Is any among you afflicted?
Have you ever been afflicted? Is any among you afflicted? What do we do? Do we complain? Is that what the scripture tells us to do? To start complaining and wondering why, woe is me. All of us go through trials and testings. All of us are afflicted at some point in our lives. What is the instruction that the scripture gives us to do? When you realize that you're in an affliction, what does it say?
Let him pray.
Is any merry?
Let him sing psalms.
Is any sick among you?
Let him call
for the elders of the church.
And
what are they to do? They are to pray. Let them pray over him,
anointing him with oil
in the name of the Lord,
and the prayer
of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up.
And if he hath committed sins,
they shall be forgiven him.
Confess your faults
one to another, and then pray one for another. It's not to complain about somebody that you see that has a fault, or there's something about them that you don't quite appreciate. What's your responsibility to pray? There is power in that prayer. There is power that the first power that we get is the grace to deal with the faults of others. Now, I believe that if you put any two people in a close setting, there's going to be something about that person that grates or that the other person is going to have to get some grace for, right? So when you see this, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. Read. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So, in essence, what it tells us, first of all, is when you're afflicted, when you have a problem, your first responsibility is not to pick up the phone and call the preacher, those that you feel are the closest to the Lord. And that's what tend to be what we do in this generation. There's somebody that you know is a prayer warrior. Maybe you know that they can get a hold of the Lord. And the first thing that we want to do, rather than praying for ourselves, we call them and feel confident that they're praying for us. It's nothing wrong with calling somebody to pray for you. I do it all the time. But I want us to understand that first of all, the first line of defense is for us to learn how to pray ourselves. And I believe that that is becoming something that we don't do as often as we need to do. I know some of you may have known Sister Annabelle. She was my aunt. She's passed away for quite some years ago. There was something about her. She was one of those that I felt was a prayer warrior. You'd be talking about something and you'd be sitting having a conversation with her, and there was something that you'd bring to her that was troubling you or whatnot. And one of the first things she'd do is bow your head. Lord, oh Lord, have mercy. This is just how she'd do it. You're talking and she'd cut you off. She'd begin to pray. She'd pray a short prayer and then she'd raise her hand and start having the conversation. You might be having the conversation. You might pray three or four times during the conversation because there was something that needed to be addressed at that particular point. The Lord laid it on her heart. She began to pray. And you know what? People always took it to her. You know what happens? Generally speaking, in those places, when you realize that there's somebody that has a connection with the Lord like that, has power with the Lord, what we tend to do is wear them down. So the scripture tells us the first thing when you're in trouble, you pray. It is not the first resort to call somebody. You should have a connection with the Lord, and the Lord wants you to have a connection with Him to the point that you realize that there is power not only in brother so-and-so's prayer or sister so-and-so's prayer, but there's power in your prayer. If the devil can take that away from you, he can gain a lot of ground in your life, but there is power in your prayer. What does he say here? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. There comes a time that you are to call for somebody to pray for you. But the first line of defense, again, is that I pray for myself. And there should never be a time that somebody else is praying more for me than I'm praying for myself, even when I'm sick. Now, I know there comes times in our sicknesses that maybe we cannot pray. Maybe and that's not the times that I'm talking about. I know that there's times that we're going to have to depend on somebody else, but there are times that we call and depend on someone else when the Lord really wants us to depend on Him and our own prayers. That makes sense to you? All right. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And he that committeth sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. Your job is to pray for me. I appreciate it. As I got up here, I heard the prayers of the saints. Short prayers. Lord bless him. Lord, send forth your word. That's a prayer. And I believe the Lord hears that. And I believe the Lord honors that. And I believe what God wants you to understand, that the prayers that you pray can be effectual, just like Elias. Elijah went through, he prayed, and he was susceptible to all of the things that you and I are susceptible to. You know, Elijah got depressed. The things that came against him, he was in a trial. It seems like everybody was against him. It seems like there was nobody that stood for truth anymore. You ever felt like that? It felt like there's nobody that believes the way that you believe, and nobody is standing for what you believe that they should stand for. That's not our business, is it? God has people that are standing for what He wants them to stand for. Our business is to make certain that I'm standing where God wants me to stand. So Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. So the Lord, in His wisdom, has shown us and given us a clear understanding that everybody in the Bible were men and women just like you and me. Paul was, Elijah was, man of like passions, a man that when he heard that there was danger, he ran. A man that got a little bit down on his luck, so to speak, and he was a little bit depressed about Jezebel was going to do. So what did he do? He went and sat up under a juniper tree and said, Lord, I'm just through with my life, and I don't want to deal with life anymore. Have you gotten that way before? You know, I've been a person that has enjoyed life, and I was a person that loved life, but when the trials of life began to hit me, do you know what? I'm looking forward to going to heaven. And the sooner the better. I don't have to be here until I'm 90 years old. Because I realize that the things that are coming our way and the things that are coming upon the world today, saints, we're going to have to know how to pray. And we're going to have to believe that our prayers are effective. And our prayers are going to have to be effectual prayers. It says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It doesn't matter what your history is. Elijah's history was just the same as you and I. Have you ever gotten down? Felt like you just wanted life to be over? Elijah did too. Yet he prayed. He prayed that it wouldn't rain for the space of 3.5 years. And you know what? God heard his prayer. And what he tells us is that Elijah is no better than you and me. May the Lord help us. Let's go a little further. Luke, the 22nd chapter. And start reading at the 31st verse. You have it? Read it for us. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And the Lord said, and he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now the Lord knew what was going to happen that day. And there was something that I think is very important here for us to get a hold of. The thing important for us to get a hold of is that Jesus prayed for Peter. And we understand when we see the background here and what the Lord is saying to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Do you realize that the devil's desire is to completely destroy every one of us? And he's putting forth every effort that he possibly can to make certain that you never make it to heaven. But you know what? There is something that counteracts that. Jesus said that he has prayed for Peter. Peter, I know what's going to happen. I know that you're going to fail. And the Lord knows every one of us. He knows what our future is. He knows what our past is. He knows everything about us. And do you know what? Not only did he pray for Peter, but he prayed for you and I as well. And you know, I believe that the Lord's prayers, I believe that there are many of us, we dealt with this a little bit the other night, there are many of us that are here because of the prayers of somebody that loved us. And those prayers are still having an effect on us today. And the only reason, I know one sister that her mother prayed for her for many, many years. And this sister would bring her mother to church, she'd drop her off, but she would not darken the doorways. And oftentimes the mother would sit in the pews and she'd say, remember my daughter, Rosie. And do you know what? One of the best saints that we have in our Dallas congregation now is the little Rosie. The mother's dead and gone. She's been gone for many years. Never saw Rosie saved. But one of the best saints that's going to be the first one there and the last one leave is the person that prayed, that this dear saint prayed for. Saints, don't give up. There's power in prayer. And I want us to understand that the devil is going to do everything that he can to destroy us. He said, Satan has desired to have you that he can sift you as wheat. I want to read the Amplified Version here. Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, and that he might sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren. So we have a responsibility that, well, we're saying, pray one for another that you may be healed. There are a lot of folks that you know that are sitting right in the pews beside you that are going through certain things that they need your support. And they need your prayers. We need one another's prayers. We need the Lord to help us through the things that we're confronted with on a day-to-day basis. God prayed for us. Have you prayed for one another? Have you prayed for yourself? May the Lord help us to realize that there is power in prayer. But I believe one of the things that the enemy wants to convince us of is that our prayers are not really having any kind of an effect. They're going as far as the ceiling and bouncing back down. If you live a life and meet the conditions that God wants you to meet, requires of you, you're living to the level that God requires of you, you have an honesty of heart with the Lord hears and answers your prayers. You're no better. Nobody is any better than you. Maybe they are prayer warriors. Maybe they know how to word it and whatnot, but that's not what it takes. What it takes is a sincere desire of the heart. Lord, maybe we don't even know how to speak it out. Sometimes we don't know the words to speak. Sometimes the words don't come, but do you know the Lord knows the groans and the sighings of our heart? And do you know he goes and makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered? Sometimes we don't know what to pray for as we ought to. And so does that mean that I don't pray at all? Sometimes we get down on our knees and it just seems like, Lord, I don't know what to say. But the Lord knows the language of the heart. And I want to encourage you today, saints, let us learn how to pray. Because the things that are coming up on this world, we're going to have some kind of connection with the Lord to be able to get through to that. And it's not going to be where you can pick up the phone and call that prayer warrior. They're dying out. We don't have them like we used to have them. Used to be a whole lot of folks that were prayer warriors. But now you just see a little splattering of them all over. But may the Lord help us to realize that you can be the power that God wants you to be. You can pray. You can pray down some things. You can pray a stand of rebuke against the powers of hell. The devil is so bold that it's no longer that he's trying to encroach so strongly on the things of God. Saints, we have to stop him. How do we stop him? Do we stop them by talking about it? Do we stop it about worrying about it? No, we stop him by praying about it.
That's right.
There are some things that we see that's coming on our nation. There are some things that we see that are coming among the church. And do you know the only way to stop it is not for us to talk about it and pick up the phone and call somebody and say, do you know what so-and-so did? And call the talk radio shows and try and join the tea parties and whatnot to try to stop what's going on. Let me tell you, what our job is to do is to pray for those that are in leadership positions. I honestly believe that most of them are doing the best that they know how to do. Most of them. Not all of them. Some of them have agendas. But how do we stop it? I can't go and get an audience with President Obama. I can't sit down and tell him what I wish he would change. I can't make him do anything, but God can. Do you know what I do? I just have this relationship with the Lord. Here I am, over here, little old nobody, right here. And here is my God that's able to do anything. My great big God right up here. And do you know what? All I do is I send a prayer right up to him, and he sends it to the person that I needed to go to. All right? So I say, Lord, I want you to talk to President Obama's heart. And if I believe it, he said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Not that you might have them. You shall have them. So I have power with the one that has power over the ones that have power. And so what I can do, I can pray for anybody and they don't even know that I'm praying for them, do they? And the Lord can go and talk to them. So our responsibility, this relationship is with God. And so as we relate to God, God relates to those that we need him to relate to. And in the meantime, even though it doesn't seem like God is working, I know that he is hearing my prayers. And I'm convinced and I'm convicted that he is doing something about it. Some folks say to me, well, Brother Darrell, it just seems like nothing happened. How do you know that your prayers didn't keep it from getting worse? If you hadn't prayed, this is what Elijah did, a man of like passion. Maybe he didn't have control over what the king and everybody did, but he had power with God. And you and I have that same ability to have a straight line of communication with God. We have power with God, and sometimes things would get far worse than they would if we didn't pray and ask the Lord to stop it. And the Lord, in his wisdom and in his mercy, he knows what he's doing. We don't know. But I believe that God, in his wisdom, understands that it's the church. We're the church. And the church is part God and part man. And God can do a lot of things by providence just because he's God. But he chooses to do things through the church. And so if the church is not praying and not asking the Lord to do certain things, then there are going to be certain things that are not that go undone. I believe. All right? So I've got power with someone that has more power than the kings and the presidents and the congressmen. And I know that there are sometimes that folks feel like, well, let's write my congressman. And you know, I don't know why I'm on this politics stuff here. Write my congressman. I don't say that there's nothing necessarily anything wrong with writing a congressman, but I can pray to my God and he can talk to who needs. And that's not passive.
No.
That's far more active than it is writing to my congressman. Because one little letter can do, God can do while that congressman is sleeping on his bed at night. He can wake him up and say, listen, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to vote. And do you know, I don't think we'll ever know that until we get over on the other side. You diverted a disaster, a catastrophe, by praying to me, the Lord said. I believe it'll open our eyes and help us to see that there's power in prayer. All right? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. So there are some conditions that have to be met. It's not just anybody that prays a dramatic prayer. A lot of folks can pray a real dramatic prayer and say all the right words, but there's something in the heart. There has to be a righteous man. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The Lord tells us that this is a promise to us. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't stop praying. One of the things that I find that we do, and I've been guilty of it myself, there's something that comes up, and the last thing I do is pray. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do about this? And we scratch our head, and we try to come up with solutions. And then the Lord said, well, why don't you pray about it? I remember there was something that I was dealing with. I was desiring to buy a piece of property, and I knew I didn't have the money to do it. And so I was trying to figure out how to make this happen. And the Lord just whispered in my ear, just ask. I thought, oh, I'm an intellectual man here. I can figure out how to make it happen, but I know it was just beyond me. And he said, just ask. So I asked. And you know what he did? He provided. Ask and ye shall receive. That's what prayer is. Seek and ye shall find. Simple. It's not something that we have to sit down and you don't have to sound like the old time saints sounded. You just have to have a sincerity of heart. And you have to have live a pure life. And you have power with God. All right, let's go a little further. Let's go to Job 1, verse 7. Read it for us if you have it. Yes. Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for naught? Did you not make a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Put forth thine hand now, touch all that he hath, he will curse thee to thy face. Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now, what this shows us is that God, in his wisdom, has put a hedge about every one of us. There is a protection that when Jesus said, he said in one place in John, I believe it was, that he says, I prayed not only for them, but also those that believe on their word. So the Lord has prayed for us literally, not just in a spiritual context. He has literally prayed for all that would believe on his name. And so those prayers that are reaching down through the centuries of time, those prayers are still in effect. God prayed for Daryl Johnson. Make it personal. God, Jesus Christ, prayed for you. Fill your name in. Because you were one that was going to believe on his name through the prophets and through all those that preached the word of God. He prayed for you. And what did he pray? He prayed a hedge about you. Lord, protect them. Father, protect them. These are in my care. This is what he said. He said, let's turn to that. John 17. Let's start at about the 20th verse, somewhere around there. We may want to get a few more verses, but let's start there. Because I don't want you to think that this is just what Brother Darrell is saying. This actually is what happened. I don't pray for these alone, but for them also, they shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So, in essence, Jesus Christ has prayed for you and I. He prayed for us, all that would believe, that we would be one with him and the Father. He prayed a protection around us. And let me say it this way. The only way that that protection can be broken is that God himself allows it to be broken, or you and I give the devil permission to cut through the hedge. Has to come by permission, by way of permission. And rest assured that if the devil is able to touch you, God already knows that you have the power and the grace to be able to go through whatever he allows to come your way. But he wants you to pray, saints. I believe what the Lord wants us to do is to come to a place of learning how to pray and to realize that there is power in prayer. And when we pray, believe. It does no good for me to get down on my knees and say, Lord, I know you probably won't do this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. That is not praying in faith, is it? The responsibility that I have is, if I don't believe that God is going to do this particular thing, the first thing that I need to pray for is, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, give me the faith to believe that you're able to do anything. This situation that seems to be so big and gigantic in my life, it is difficult for me to take it in that you're able to do this. But I know intellectually that you're bigger than all my problems. I know that, Lord. Now, give it to me with an understanding that I can embrace it and I can believe that what I pray for, you're able to do it. Not only are you able to do it, but you're willing to do it. And here's the thing that we need to understand. When we pray something according to the will of God, what does he say? He says, he hears us. Whatsoever we ask. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of him. This is very clear in the scripture that we can have the things that we desire, the things that we pray for, when we pray and we submit our will for that particular thing to God's will. Because what you're really doing, you're aligning your will with God's will. So ultimately, God wants to do what he wants to do. So you're not asking for something foreign. You're asking for something that God himself wants to do. He wants to accomplish this thing. But because we are the church, because the church is part God and part man, God waits for us to ask. In many instances. And then what happens is we say, Lord, not my will, your will be done. I want your will to be done in this. And my will becomes aligned with God's will. So ultimately what God is doing is not so much what I desire, it's what he desires. And I believe that when we do that, we'll have more power. So one of the things that we should pray for, Lord, what is your will regarding this matter? What do you want to accomplish here? How do you want me to pray? I want you to give me the clarity of understanding. I don't know how to pray as I ought, but you said the Spirit would make intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So sometimes I don't even know what I should be praying for. I don't even know what the burden of my heart is. So when I get down to pray, or when I'm driving in the car, wherever I am to pray, Lord, what do you want to accomplish? How do you want me to pray? What direction? Have you ever gotten down and began to pray for something? And the first thing you maybe a person. I've been in these situations. Lord, how do we pray about this? There are some things that people bring to you that is baffling. You don't have the answers to. You don't even know what to say. You don't have the words of comfort to give to them. And so what you do, the first thing you do, they may not know it, but the first thing you do is, oh Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, meet the need here. That's a prayer. Lord, I don't know what this person really needs, and I can say the words off the top of my head like it's supposed to be, and say all the right words, but Lord, that may not minister to what their need really is. So the first thing that we do is have this line of communication with the Lord. Lord, tell me what to say to them. Lord, give me understanding. Maybe there are some things that are being left unsaid, that's really the gist of the issue right there, and you can give me that understanding. I don't have that understanding. You can give it to me. The Lord can read the hearts of every one of us. He knows what we're going through. He knows the problems that we face. He knows that the only way for us to get through these things is for us to pray them through. There are going to be some burdens that the only way to do it is to pray them through. There are going to be some mountains that are not going to be able to be moved other than being prayed to be moved. And I ask the Lord, Lord, cast it in the sea as far as the east is from the west. Lord can do that if we believe. I can't stress it, the importance of the church praying. Can't stress this importance. Who's the church? Oh, that's the ones that are the real deep ones. Right? It's all of us. And sometimes the most effectual prayers are just a little child. Have you ever heard a child? Lord, have mercy. And the Lord does it for the child. How many things has God done for us through prayer, and we don't even realize it? All right? So, I want to say the devil desires to destroy us, but Jesus prayed for us. And so here we see here in Job, the situation with Job, that there was a hedge that God put around Job. So I believe that same hedge is transposed on us. The Lord has put a hedge about us, and the only way for the devil to get to us is to first get permission either from us or from God. So we can break the hedge by some of the choices we make. Young people, I want to say this, particularly to the young folks. The old folks already know it. Young folks don't know it quite yet. Some of the decisions that you make that seem like they're just innocuous, innocent, it can give permission to the devil to wreak havoc in your life. And I believe the Lord wants us to understand that. The devil's design and desire is not for our well-being. It is to destroy us in any way that he possibly can. And God's desire and design is to make certain that we're protected. So the way for us to be protected is to be in the center of God's will. Whatever that will is. Even if it seems like it's to our detriment, once I know what the will of God is, my safest place is in the center of it. And the Lord is going to be very careful to make it very clear to me what his will is in a situation. And sometimes I don't need to move until I pray through and I know what God's will is for me in that place. All right? I'll put it like this. This is the will of God. It represents the will of God. The safest place is right here. If this is a hedge that God has put around me, the safest place in the midst of that is right in the middle. Not looking over the edge to see what's going on outside. It's right in the middle. I don't care what's going on outside. I'm right here and I'm safe. I've got this buffer around me that is the will of God all around me. I've got this buffer and I don't want to be right here on the edge. Well, I know this is God's will, but I'm going to step over on the and I'm just kind of straddling. I know I'm going to keep this foot in it, but over on this side, I'm going to see what I can do and see how far I can stretch out there. The safest place is for me to align my will with God's will, because God, again, God sees the end from the beginning. And God in his wisdom allowed Job to go through what he's gone through, so it can be an encouragement to us. We didn't understand it. Do you suppose Job understood what he was going through? Do you suppose that Job, in the midst of it, we can look and we can see how Job, just wait a minute. It's going to be all right in the end. We can tell Job that because we read his story, didn't we? But can we tell ourselves and believe it from the very depths of our heart that it's going to be just like Job? Wait, just stay there. Just stay in the center of the will of God. Don't get outside the will of God. Don't curse God. Don't throw down the towel and say, it's just as much as I can handle. I've gone as far as I can. Don't do it, because in the next chapter, it's going to be much better. And you have to believe that. And the Lord gives us scripture so that we can believe, because if he did it for Job, he can do it for me. If Job prayed and all this, what did he say? Job did not charge God. He worshiped God, but he realized what happened. What did he do? He fell down and worshiped. How could you do that? You just lost all of your children. You just lost all of your livelihood. And it all happened just like that in the matter of 5 minutes. But Job had a relationship with the Father before it ever happened. Job knew, he went and sacrificed, and he sacrificed for his children. He laid all of this on the altar. I believe that there were some times of praying in Job's, when Job went to the Lord. Job went and he prayed and he laid his children on the altar. He laid his finances on the altar. This was the work of prayer. It didn't just happen. He didn't just say, all of a sudden, I feel like, oh, it's no big deal. I didn't love my children anyway. Of course he loved them. And what did he say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Still worshiping the Lord. Right in the midst of the worst trials that he ever went through. He still found a place to pray and a place to seek the Lord. Saints, if he can do it, we can too. Elijah was a man of like passion as we are, yet he prayed. And the Lord did something. Job was a man of like passion as we are, yet he prayed and stayed in the center of the will of God, and God brought him through, and the end of Job was better than the beginning. We don't know what God is going to do until we get to the end of the journey. So we've got to keep going. Don't stop. And sometimes what we're going to have to do is pause for a moment, and we're going to have to go and find a place of prayer and say, Lord, give me what I need, the grace that I need, just to go one step further. It's too much for me. I've been in places that I felt like, Lord, I can't do it anymore. It's too much. And the Lord, when you go there and you do that, what does the Lord do? He does just like he did to Job. He said, Lord, I look for you on this side. I look for you in the front, the back, all around. He said, but you know the way that I take. How could that man, before the grace dispensation, do it? How dare I not do it? How dare I not find a place of prayer when I'm going through something and it doesn't seem like God is anywhere around, just fall. Lord, where are you? But I know that he's there. I know he knows the way that I take. So what do I do? How do I find him? I find him in a place of prayer. In a quiet place. Lord, I don't understand what I'm going through. It doesn't make sense to me, Lord. But I know that you know what's best. And sometimes when I question whether or not, I have, in my own human wisdom, question whether or not the Lord, is this really what needs to be done? And when I begin to question it, and the Lord, I find a place of prayer, the Lord settles my heart. He says, yeah, this is necessary. You just don't, just trust me. Just trust me. That's what we have to do, saints. Just trust him. Just trust him. There's no need in praying if you don't trust. What's the point in praying if you don't believe that God's going to do it? Whatever mountain is in your life, God has the ability to move that mountain if you'll believe that he's able to do it. And how does he do it? He does it through us praying. That's the way that the church connects with God. It's one of the ways. This is what happens. There's power in words. You've heard the little saying that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. It's not really a true statement. Words can do far more damage than if you just stood up and punched me in the face. And sometimes folks hurt other folks, don't they? How do we get over it? Getting with somebody and talking about what happened? No. You know how we get over it? Praying. Find a place of prayer. And let me tell you something else. The words that we speak in our mouth. What does the scripture say? They overcame him. How? Blood of the Lamb and what? The word of their testimony. Do you realize that our words have an effect on the devil? Do you realize that they hurt him? Do you realize that the more we pray, the closer we get to the Lord, the more that we can do damage to the devil's kingdom? Through prayer, saints, through prayer. And I believe what God wants every one of us to realize and understand, from the smallest child to the oldest adult in here, is that your prayers mean something to God. There is power in a small child's prayer when he prays, "Lord, do this for us." I remember when I was a little boy, my mother taught us how to pray. She was a very sick woman, diabetic. There were many times that we felt that we were going to lose her. And she was trusting the Lord, and what she'd do, she'd call all the little ones in there, and she'd tell us to lay our hands on her and pray for her and ask God to do something. Do you know, I believe that the reason my mother lived so long was because of my prayers when I was a 3 or 4, 5 or 6 year old boy. Because I believe that God was going to do something. And he did. You know why? It was his will to do. So again, what we want to make certain is that we align our will with God's will. May the Lord help us. All right, a few other scriptures. Acts 16, verse 20. And brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison, and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, what did they do? Prayed. Men of like passions, even as we are. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. That's good enough. In the darkest places, when you feel that you are imprisoned by maybe what somebody else has done, or how somebody else feels about you, or what, and they throw you in the center prison, lock you up, feet, hands, you may not can do anything else, you may not can have any control over anything else, but you can pray. At the darkest times, that is one thing that they cannot take from you. If we as a nation, if there something comes on us where we cannot maybe worship like we're worshiping here, and we trust that that'll never happen, but I'm not so sure that it won't. But you know what they can't take from us? We can pray. At the darkest point that you're going through right now, the thing that God wants you to do is he wants you to pray. Not only pray, but to sing praises to God, all of the beneficial things that he's done for you. Sometimes we forget about that. What has the Lord done for you? It could be a lot worse, Paul, Silas. I don't care what situation that you're in, it could be worse for you. And you can complain about how life isn't fair. No, life isn't fair. Never has been. But what balances it out is that the grace of God compensates for whatever we need. So what do you need? We're sinned abound. What happens? Grace did much more abound. So what I have to do is, Lord, give me, this is a prayer, Lord, give me the grace to go through this that I'm going through. And the Lord will do that. I may not can control everything else, but in the darkest moments, the darkest times, I can pray. And the Lord will hear and answer my prayer. What did he do? He didn't just loose Paul and didn't just give Paul some grace. He shook the whole thing. There was an earthquake. Everything shook and everybody's handcuffs, leg cuffs, everything came off. And a man got saved. A lot of folks got saved that night. As a result, he could have complained, couldn't he? He could have said, oh, woe is me. Why, Lord, I've been doing everything like I'm supposed to do it, and you still allow these kinds of things to happen to me. Why? And the Lord says, I have a reason that's deeply hidden way down under, and all you have to do is pray that I can spring it up. And if Paul hadn't prayed, I wonder if God would have opened those shackles. I don't think he would have, do you? You see the connection between God and the church? We pray in the darkest times. And this becomes a testimony to those that are watching. Because we believe, I knew that Paul, I don't know what Paul prayed for. He prayed, it didn't say what he prayed for. And he sang praises, but that tells me that he was in the right frame of mind. Oh, thank the Lord that I am able to suffer with you. I don't know, maybe he started thinking about all the folks that got saved during his preaching and all the things that God had done for him. And when he began to do it, it just bubbled up and overwhelmed in his heart. And it went to God and God couldn't handle it. And he just started shaking everything. What's so different about Paul and Silas? A man of like passion as we are. Paul was no different. He was no smarter than any folks here. Maybe he was quite smarter than me, but most of us, maybe. But he's no different. A man of like passions, yet he prayed. And the Lord shook the whole prison. He was delivered. And folks, that was a witness to people. You see the purpose? The purpose is a witness. We're almost finished. Appreciate your patience. Acts 12, verse 1.
I'm
going to drop down. I'll read it because I'm not going to read all of it here. This is talking about Peter. Peter, therefore, was kept, fifth verse, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing, of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison, and smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. Now, the saints over there somewhere praying. The saints are praying. They have no idea what God is doing. The Lord is way somewhere else. They're praying for Peter. And the Lord is answering their prayer while they're praying. That's powerful, isn't it? And then the Lord, in his wisdom, gives us, while the saints are over here praying, prayers being made without ceasing over here, the Lord is showing us what he's doing over there. Do you suppose he's still doing those kinds of things? There's power in prayer, saints. Let's not stop praying. Let's ask the Lord, Lord, let's rev it up a little bit. Let me pray. Let me not forget to pray. Let it be the first thing that I do. Let me have an attitude of prayer. Give me what I need, dear Lord, because this is the only thing that's going to take me through is my prayer. It's prayer. All right, so here we see split screen, if you will. Right over here, the saints praying, and right over here, the Lord working. All right. It says, and the light shined in the prison, and giving us a play-by-play. Smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And the chains fell off his hands, and the angels said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto them, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he saw a vision. And when they had passed the first and second wart, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to him, to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And there's a point that I want to make here. There are some times that people have expectations of what they desire to see happen to you, and it's not good expectations. But do you know that when you don't have to be afraid of that, you can just pray about it, and the Lord can deliver you from what people expect to happen to you. Not everybody has goodwill toward one another. There are some folks that have got it set just right, and no matter what you do and what you say, they know exactly how it's going to turn out, and the Lord can deliver you from the expectation of those people. Now, this is what happened. We won't go for the sake of time. We won't read the rest of it. But Peter goes to the house where the saints are still praying. And he goes to the gate, and the Rhoda, I believe, the damsel comes. He knocks on the door, on the gate, and she comes. She knows it's Peter's voice, and she runs in and says, "Saints, this would be as we were here tonight praying for somebody. Saints, the Lord, Peter's out there, and the saints didn't even believe it." Do you realize that we can ask the Lord something and the Lord can do it that's beyond our expectations? Now, this is what I believe the saints believe. I believe that the saints believed deep down in their heart that God was going to deliver Peter. I don't believe that they would have prayed. But I believe that they had in their mind how God was going to do it. Tomorrow he's going to go before Herod and the Lord's going to do some miraculous thing and Herod's going to let him go. And they were going to pray all night if we had to. We're going to have an all-night prayer meeting. And tomorrow when the light comes up, we're going to know what God's going to do for Peter. Because we believe. But do you know God can circumvent the way that we believe it should happen? And we should be open, Lord, however you want it to happen, let it happen. However you want it to happen. And that we can open our minds and allow the Lord to do something that's exceeding abundantly beyond what we could even imagine. Can't even dream it. So the reason that when he comes and he knocks on the gate, the saints didn't believe that that's how God was going to do it. They couldn't take it in. No, you must be, what did they say? Must be a spirit. We know God's going to do it, but we just didn't think he was going to do it that way. Surely he's not going to do it that way. We don't know how he's going to do it. We just got to be prepared that he is going to do it. May the Lord help us. All right. Mark 11:24. I'll close with that. Therefore I said, let's start at 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, "Have faith in God. Not in yourself, not in your intellect, not in somebody else, not in their prayers, but in God." All right? "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." This is a promise, saints. If you believe in your heart, mountains in your way, things that you just don't understand, things that you just don't see how is going to happen, believe and pray. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive." You can't have anything against anybody. There's conditions that have to be met. Yes. Say the effectual, fervent prayer of what kind of a man? A righteous man. Not just any man. But a man that is righteous, that is purified before God. That's the condition that has to be met in order for these things to happen. Now Elias, Paul and Silas, Job, these were men of like passion as we are, yet they prayed. But they met the condition that God required of them in order to get the blessing that they desired from God. So it's not just that God does it just without us meeting conditions. There's always condition here. So he says, "When you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses." So somebody offended you, something that is difficult for you to forgive somebody, you must do it. Or else you have no right to pray and ask God to do anything for you. When you stand praying, you forgive. And sometimes what we have to do is we have to say, "Lord," have you ever been in a situation where it was difficult to forgive somebody? That you felt in your mind, if I see them at their funeral, that'll be soon enough. But the Lord lets you know, no, that's not good enough. So what do you have to do? The first thing you have to do before you ask whatever it is that you're going to ask for is, "Lord, give me this grace to forgive this person for what they did to me. Or what I perceive that they did." Sometimes the way that we do things is not even, it's our reality. And it's not really what happened. And the devil has a way of blowing it out of proportion. But you must forgive. That's a condition that has to be met in order to get the things that you desire from God. All right? "When you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, for that your heavenly Father also, your Father which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And if any do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. So, what does it say? Have faith in God, saints. I believe what the Lord wants us to realize and understand, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them and ye shall have them. May the Lord help us to realize the power in prayer. Amen.